Welcome to Sustain This, a podcast where we discuss mindful consumption, personal style, and the quest for living a more intentional life. I'm Alyssa, a sustainable stylist.
And I'm Christina, a shopaholic turned minimalist-ish.
And I'm Sina, a color consultant and slow fashion style coach.
Together, we will unpack the nuances of what it really means to be a conscious consumer and find more joy in what we have right now. So grab your tea, your coffee, or whatever floats your boat and join us in the conversation. Let's go.
Yay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. And thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we're talking about the minimalist wardrobe. We're going to talk a little bit about what that means to each of us. For me personally, I can definitely tell you what I've learned, that it isn't about the past years. And it's not just about an aesthetic. I think that's probably like the biggest takeaway that I've learned myself. Yeah, it's all about, you know, I'm sure we all think about clean lines and like this really monochrome colors, you know, color theme and a decluttered space when we're talking about minimalism, like open spaces, stuff like that. But I think it doesn't have to look like that to everyone. I think minimalism is something everyone can get aboard with, no matter what kind of aesthetic you like, really. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Do you agree?
Yes, I definitely do agree. I think you're so right. When you think of the minimalist wardrobe, it's like, oh, I start thinking of like black, white, and gray, and the exact same t-shirt hanging in the wardrobe and owning one pair of jeans. And I think if that works for you, that's fantastic. And if it really simplifies getting dressed, I think that's amazing. But I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast or watching any of our channels or my channel for a while, then you know that I tried that and I really wanted it to work, but it didn't work for me. And that's because part of like, just like one of the things that brings me joy and like one of my hobbies is clothing and fashion. And I think you can be a fashionable minimalist, but for me, it's just not that type of wardrobe. Just didn't work for me. It's not what aligned. So I think you can have a minimalist wardrobe. And when I think of a minimalist wardrobe, it's a wardrobe that just doesn't overwhelm you. It's one that when you open it up, you never get that feeling of I have a closet full of clothes and nothing to wear. It's a wardrobe that gets use. And I want to talk about the usage later on in this podcast, because I think there's a lot of decluttering tips that you can get from minimalists and it kind of comes down to usage, and sometimes I don't necessarily agree with that. But yeah, I think a minimalist wardrobe is one that doesn't stress you out.
Yeah, I completely agree.
That's like perfect bottom line. It doesn't stress you out.
So it's not necessarily about the number of pieces. It's not 33, it's not 30, it's not 10. I think that's a great amount. I think we talked about, we did an episode on how many clothes should you really own. And apparently it was like 30, like basically like 30 items a season. So like 120 pieces is like a good number. Some of us have more, some of us have less. But when you, especially in pursuit of a quote unquote minimalist wardrobe, like when you start, when you pursue a number, I feel like that's really missing the point.
And then I feel like the one of each, like one t-shirt, one white shirt. Like, why are we so like stuck on duplicates being like inherently bad?
Yeah,
like, it doesn't have to be. If one white t-shirt is in the wash, then you have another one ready. Or it could be, you know, that they're just like small variations. Like it's the same but different.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am I'm a fan of that same but different, and having to what is on my face? My headphones are like flaking off on me. I need, look at them.
Oh, you need
talk about need a new pair. Needing to declutter when you need to replace something.
Yeah. Well done.
What about you, Alyssa?
I tend to think of it in the same way as slow fashion. Like I see a minimalist wardrobe as more approaching your closet with a specific mindset, one that is sort of centered around choosing with intention. So again, to both of your points, it doesn't really matter how many pieces or whether it's like a certain aesthetic. It's really about whether you've chosen each item with a purpose, and it hasn't been done like mindlessly, like, oh, these were on sale, so I bought five of them. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was just, you have a purpose. And it doesn't mean that, like you said, like, it doesn't mean that it's a small, well-edited closet if that's not what works for you. It's about the usage and it's about the intention yeah. behind those pieces. And yeah. that they are in alignment with who you are.
I think that's fantastic. I love that. That's so great. Yeah.
Cool.
I love that. I think it's I think minimalism is very helpful. Okay, this is how I feel about I feel like minimalism is not like what I've really had to come to learn about it. It is that, at least for me, speaking for myself, it's not an identity. It's a tool. It's something that you use to help you get to a state that feels a little less chaotic, more calm, gives you space back so that you can do other things that you care about. So you're not spending all your time folding laundry and just like trying to navigate your life through all this clutter, because clutter and having too much stuff and having stuff everywhere is a distraction. It really does distract us. Like, you know, there's science and psychology to back that up, in the sense of, you know, we can't do our best work if you're trying to focus on something really important. If you have clutter all around, it's really hard to actually do that. It's hard to navigate even getting dressed if your wardrobe is bursting mm-hmm. at the seams and a disaster. So, like, I think if you are in pursuit of a wardrobe that feels more calm and more in alignment with your values, as you kind of say, Alyssa, then I think you can use it to help you kind of achieve that, especially if you're starting with a wardrobe that needs a good declutter.
Mm-hmm. 100%. There yeah. was actually, I love that whole, like, you brought up that paradox of choice issue, because there's actually like, I think it was a Harvard Business Review or a Harvard case study about the paradox of choice and how consumers, when confronted with like more than just two or three options, they end up making no decision at all. Mm-hmm. So it's so similar to everybody's conundrum of, I have this huge closet full of clothes and yet I don't want to make a decision about it. So
yeah. I think yeah. for me, something I've learned too is like, it's almost like an investment in my future self. Like, it's like making a decision even before I bring something home with me, not just a piece mm-hmm. of clothing, but also like, okay, I brought this receipt back from the shop. Like, do I just throw it out right away, or do I bring it with me into the home and then it's going to end up in a drawer somewhere with all of the other receipts that I've been like piling up? So I think it's like, I don't know, like preventing having to like deal with that at a later time, like just piling up clutter before it even starts getting cluttered. Mm-hmm. I think that's something I learned from the KonMari method. Like, I think that I remember that it's a point in that whole method that you like, that's what you learn from it, that you become more aware of what you bring into your life mm-hmm. before you even do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And fun fact, Marie Kondo is not actually a minimalist. She gets put into that bucket, I find, mm-hmm. but really I think she's about that spark joy and the and keeping your home tidy and really keeping what you value. And I think, I mean, ultimately from what I've learned through exploring minimalism, that kind of is the tool. It is a tool to help you get there. I think the main values of minimalism is to keep what brings you joy and value and to get rid of what doesn't. But I feel like the actual word minimal in minimalism, a lot of people tend to take it to this place where it's like, I got to get rid of more and more and more. And it becomes this like numbers game and this aesthetic game and this negative space game that, I mean, at least for me, it got really toxic because it kind of misses the whole point. And
that's it. Christina, let's yeah. talk a little about like the minimalist-ish. Like, let's talk about how that like came to life.
Yeah, I think minimalist-ish was, I think when you say, oh, I'm like, when you say ish, like, oh, let's meet at 5-ish, or like, let's, you know, that kind of thing. It sounds like something that's a little non-committal, but for me, it became this sense of balance for me and a play and like a tool that I could use to embrace what I authentically enjoyed, which is clothing. Because where I think I came from minimal, like a lot of the minimalists that inspired me were, I'd say a lot of it was like very masculine energy. So a lot of male minimalists inspired me, and they still do. But, and I don't want to like put everybody into a bucket, but a lot of guys don't really care about clothes. They really lean into like the black t-shirt and jeans, and that's good enough for them. And that's what they preach because that's what it works. But I feel like when we get to wardrobe, and especially for women, I feel like the standard is different anyway. Like, you know, we're supposed to dress a certain way and we're supposed to look a certain way. And if you dress like this, then suddenly you don't care. And like you must not put time into yourself. And then if you put too much makeup on, then you care too much and you're vain and like all this stuff. So the thing that just kind of bothered me was like a lot of these minimalists would say, you know, it's great. You can have as big of a book collection as you want, and because that's what you value, or you can have a huge record collection. But suddenly when we get to clothes, there's all this like negative connotation and this negative energy around it that I grappled with for a long time. But basically like minimalist-ish was, I just kept trying to like get down to this like certain number of items, and like every time I decluttered, it felt amazing. So then I would want to declutter more to get rid of more, because like if I get rid of one more thing, then I'm going to feel that much more amazing. And it just really started to work against me. Like the whole goal of using that as a tool was really just starting to have the opposite effect, which is why I was like, okay, I'm just going to be ish about it. Like minimalist-ish. Like I use minimalism as a tool, but you know, if I have 31 pieces instead of 30, it's not the end of the world. Or if I want to bring in something new, or want to go shopping, because shopping has a bad rep in minimalism too. It's like a moral failing, I feel like sometimes. Because I think the assumption is just like, you never need to buy anything again. And like, you know, you're always in the pursuit of, you're in pursuit of the least instead of like what matters to you. So like minimalist-ish just gave me kind of a name to something that really is just a sense of balance for me.
Yeah.
Can I ask how it impacted your style when you were in that period where it was kind of getting toxic, but maybe you weren't fully aware? Like, were you enjoying getting dressed? Did you like your style? Did you feel like you were in alignment? Or were you like, I'm just bored? Like, how did it inform that?
Yeah. And at the beginning, it really did. I was like, wow, okay, all I ever need is like a few black t-shirts and some jeans and some blazers and some sneakers and great. And I mean, like, that's kind of is my style now. So I'm not going to, and I think decluttering, because I started with so much, decluttering really did help me find my style with what I had, because at that time I wasn't shopping and I was trying to get rid of things. But yes, over time I was like, I am so bored of this. And like a lot of my clothes are starting to look ratty and like, but the problem I found was like at that time I would just be like, let's say I would be like trying to grapple with like decluttering a piece, and I would just, and I would be like, no, this is stupid. Like, why are you struggling so hard getting rid of a blazer? Like, it's just a stupid blazer. Like, and like a lot of like really gross and like stoic self-talk to try to like very like David Goggins, like stay hard, push through, like, you know? And again, I would say like leaning into a lot of like more like masculine energy to like get through that. And I really had to start exploring like why is there a reason that like I'm struggling with this? Like, why don't I want to get rid of it? And it wasn't like a just in case thing. It was like, no, I really like this, or like, I want to wear this, or you know, I want to feel great in a pair of heeled boots or something like that, you know? Yeah. So it did start to feel very one note and flat in terms of my own personal style, for sure.
I think it's a great example that decluttering isn't necessarily the answer when you're trying to find your style or edit your style. I think a lot of people will jump to like the pre-made checklist or the one size fits all, like 10 must-haves for every wardrobe kind of checklist. It just kind of like, you'll probably discover at some point that you've been packing yourself away for the sake of minimalism. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, well, you know, I've been hiding away pieces of myself, but actually this is what I like wearing. And that's something you need to discover in a slightly different way. Like, you need to figure out what it is that you're actually wearing rather than just like throwing stuff away for the sake of only having 30 items in your wardrobe.
Yeah. Because I find too, like, especially if you're doing that initial declutter, and if you are starting from a place where you are just feeling like so overwhelmed and bursting at the seams, it's like, it feels amazing to get rid of bags and bags of clothing and like to see that those empty hangers. And it's a really visual, like, it's a tangible visual reward. You see the result in front of you. And I think a lot of times it can start to be like, okay, well, I want to declutter more and I want to get rid of more. But, and I do agree with you, Sina. I feel like you don't necessarily need to declutter first to find your style. But at the same time, if you are starting with so much and you don't know what you have, like for me, decluttering did help me find my style.
Maybe at least like isolating, you know, not necessarily getting rid altogether, but like isolating stuff. If that feels more approachable.
Like even creating little capsules, right? Like little aliquots of your wardrobe or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I don't think you necessarily absolutely need to declutter, but I agree, getting familiar with what you have and figuring out what you're actually using, and that way you sort of like see what's in the way. But getting rid of more and more and more and more, at least over time for me, wasn't the answer. But yeah, do you guys want to talk about the number of pieces? How do you feel? How do you feel about the whole pursuit of a certain number of pieces in a capsule wardrobe, like a building a seasonal one, or in your overall global wardrobe? How does that numbers game feel to you?
Alyssa, I'm intrigued to hear, like, because you've not done like capsule wardrobes, like a strictly capsule wardrobe, right? Is there something about it that just feels like not, isn't like speaking to you, or like?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. It just, I'm very much, I think it has to do a lot with like my personality and the way I just like to operate in general and move through life. And I'm very much like on the ish side of things. Like, I, when there are rules and they're hard and fast, I'm just like, bye.
Yeah.
Like, I just, I like, I don't know. Like, I love rules. Like, I love like regimented and disciplined and in certain things, but I don't know. I've always, I don't know. I was just like, I have these things. Why?
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. I guess it just didn't resonate in that sense.
No, I love that. I was actually like this morning, I've been uploading our previous episode, episode 39, or one of our previous episodes, which was all about why we're, you know, what we have on our not to buy lists and why you should keep a not to buy list. And Alyssa, we actually talked a little bit about it there, that you probably have, you just have a little bit more of a creative approach to things. Like, you don't necessarily need things to be so boxed and so strict, which I think it's nice that we have those like different approaches, because it's not going to be the same for everyone.
No.
And I think it's good to like, you know, I don't know, tell people or like show people that it's going to be different for all of us. It's not like, We want these like strict guides and rules, but it's
that's a good point.
I just think we want everything to be so like binary and black and white, and it really like it's frustrating that things are so nuanced sometimes, but they really are, you know.
That's probably, yeah, it's like, I don't know, like, is it really cheesy? But it's like that, you know, things that come without a little bit of struggle, like, is, you know, sometimes it feels more worth it if it's.
Yeah, that too.
I mean.
Totally. That too.
Not everything has to be like easy and.
No. Yeah. And so like pre-formulated and whatever. Yeah. There are, like, I have noticed, like, I actually put away, there are certain sort of like seasonal items, like shorts I've taken out of my closet because like I'm not. Now who knows, like it's like 10 degrees today, so that's wild, but like so I understand the appeal, like when I brought my shorts back in for the summer, like that was exciting. I was like, oh, look at all these haven't been here before, like now I have new clothes. So I really get the appeal of a capsule closet for sure. And I don't know, even like the no buy / low buy that we did in January, I did one in January, and before the no buy never appealed to me. Cause again, because of that like strictness, but thanks to our conversation that we had on the podcast, and both of you were like, it doesn't have to be hard and fast. Like you can start whenever you want. It doesn't have to be like, you know, and the fact that both of you kind of softened the edges of a no buy made me actually appreciate it and follow it without like a bit more with a softer approach, and then I was like, great, no bye, January done. So
yeah,
so awesome. But I don't know, that yeah, was thanks cool. to both of you.
I also think like that's where, like, for example, social media, and if you Google capsule wardrobes, it's gonna look like really the, you know, stereotypical still, like it's on Pinterest or wherever you like Google capsule wardrobes, I feel like. And also just like the algorithm, like the way it presents capsule wardrobe and minimalist style, it's just looks the same. Like it's the striped t-shirt, it's the blue jeans, it's the white trainers, like it's this, and I love that. Like I love that look. I appreciate a simple outfit, but it's like, I can understand why people don't want to try it if they believe that that's how it has to be, like it's
totally
that's the only way a minimalist wardrobe can
like I you know, I love color, but I can't do like a minimalist wardrobe, that kind of thing. So there's like a lot of assumptions around it, and I think it just really has to boil down to like what feels good in your gut. And I think if you keep fighting against that, not to say that we shouldn't go through difficult things and like need to, like sometimes you have to push back against your comfort zone. So I'm not saying don't do that, but like, at least for me, it was like, I was just pushing so much. There was a lot of like exploration and self-exploration that I was pushing away in pursuit of just like this utilitarian wardrobe that just looked and felt the same. So over time, it was just like, oh, okay, I'm really uninspired. But I'm a minimalist, so I can't go shopping. You know,
exactly.
Like that's how it felt.
All from that same starting point that fashion is frivolous, that I think.
That's right.
You know, that's where it all started. Yeah. Fashion is frivolous. Okay, so I need to be a minimalist. So, and then,
I know, Christina, you wanted to talk more about like that usage piece. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess there's that whole sort of, do you feel guilty if you're not like, but you know, by nature of having a larger wardrobe, you're not wearing, you know, maybe you're not outfit repeating five times a week, and that's okay too. But like, is there guilt? Do you think there's guilt around like if we're not wearing the same pieces all the time, and like maybe the usage is lower, but
Yes. So there's a rule I used to adhere to called the 90-90 rule that was created by The Minimalist. So like Josh and Ryan of The Minimalist, they had the documentary and all that stuff. And I think it's a great rule for a lot of things. But for me in wardrobe, I mean, the pandemic kind of showed us that. So the 90-90 rule is essentially if you haven't used it in the past 90 days and you're not going to use it in the next 90 days, then it's a sign that you can get rid of it. And I think that's a great rule. It's a very helpful guideline. But the pandemic has shown us that maybe not. I've had a lot of feedback when I did used to preach that rule or a similar rule, like if you haven't worn it in the past 6 months or a year, get rid of it. You know, and then I got a lot of comments kind of opening my eyes to different scenarios, like scenarios that were different than mine. Imagine, like, you know, well, what if your weight fluctuates, or like, I want to downgrade this and I do a lot of like painting and DIY, like I can reuse, downgrade this to that, or this is something that is really special to me, so I simply just want to keep it, and no, maybe I'm not going to wear it, but I want to keep it. And I think it's, and I'm not going to say take a photo of it and that way you can preserve the memory. I'm like, that's not how I want to preserve a memory of like my grandmother's coat or something. You know what I mean? So if there's things that you just want to keep and you're not really going to use it, you know, find a way. I think it's perfectly reasonable to store it. And I don't think that's like a failing. That's not a failing of like holding on and like not being able to let go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, just keep what you want. And I think usage is a nice gauge. It's helpful. But like, I have this like check printed Anina Bing blazer that literally every time I declutter, I'm like, is this the time I get rid of you? And I still haven't. And I'm like, I'm just, whatever, I'm going to keep it and it's fine. And I don't really wear it that much. But I don't know. One day I want to, right? Like I want to wear it someday, or like, so that's just one that I've kept, and it doesn't get as much wear as a lot of my other blazers, like my black ones or, you know, a lot of my jeans, et cetera. But I don't think usage has to be like a gauge necessarily.
I completely agree.
Yeah. Sina, actually, I think Sina, you DM'd me that there was like this blade. Like, I think I was sharing on Instagram stories. This was like in like 2020, and you're like, you literally sent me a DM because I was like, should I get rid of this blazer and whatever, peak decluttering me, and you actually said that you're like, you don't need to, like it's a beautiful piece, just keep it, it's not a big deal, like if you don't get too much wear out of it, it's just something that you can revisit. It's like you can visit it like an old friend every so often if you want to.
That's so wise.
Yeah, that's
so wise,
yeah.
Sina.
And I completely agree, because it's been 3 years ago since I gave birth, and I still have all of my maternity wear, because I'm like, okay, you know, what if one day I get pregnant again, right?
Wow, she's I know three. It's, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, so yeah, just get it out of your sight, and then if you have the room, of course. And I think, again, that's a great way, like the whole way you explain it, Christina, is very much, I think, underlines the whole minimalist-ish mindset. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely like personally benefit from not having too many options out in my wardrobe, which is why I think the capsule wardrobe is appealing to me. And also because, you know, I've had people like tell me that, okay, well, I live at a place on Earth where we don't have four seasons, like where the climate pretty much stays the same all the time. What do I do? And in cases like that, it could be more, you know, well, what am I in the mood for wearing at this time of my life, and then kind of storing the rest of it away. So it's not necessarily based on like seasonal requirements, but more like, what am I in the mood for wearing right now? There, you know, you can do it exactly as it feels right for you. But yeah, I think where I'm definitely like benefiting from the minimalist mindset in the sense of not having too many options. Because to your point, Alyssa, that it just makes me fatigued by decisions. It's like, okay, well, then that's where I'm going to start wearing that same pair of jeans and that same jumper over and over again, because it's far easier than having to figure out what else I'm going to be wearing.
Yeah. I usually use that as a gauge. Like, again, like I don't track things in my closet, but I know that that's very useful. I think, Christina, you have that tracker. Sheet, which is great. And if I find myself wearing the same pieces over and over again, then that's like a trigger for me to be like, okay, Alyssa, like it's time to revisit. Like, why are you only wearing the same pieces? Change it up, or let go of some things, because you're obviously not, you know, something's up. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I think it's just, I feel like decluttering and like letting go and getting rid of things is, it's all just a feeling. And like when you're doing it, like whether or not you want to declutter it and put it in the yes, no, or maybe pile is literally a split second. Like if there's a moment of hesitation and it's not a hell yes, but it's not a no either, then you can put it in your maybe pile, and there's strategies mm-hmm. that you can do later, whether it be, I call it style it or store it. So store it away, revisit later. As you say, Sina, you sort of take a break from the clothes.
Yeah.
It's not for your season of life right now, or for your body right now, or for whatever you need it to be done. Or you can challenge yourself to style it, like put it back in your wardrobe. And that's when you can like mm-hmm. play with like a mini capsule wardrobe, or like, you know, putting it on your weekly rail and be like, why is it that I don't want to get rid of this, but also why is it that I'm not wearing it? This is also similar, I guess, to Alison Bornstein's How. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you never wear it, but you want to. How do you mm-hmm. how do you style it and like integrate it into your wardrobe? And that could be like right after your declutter, or it could be like 3 months from now. Basically, you get to decide. There's no rules. Mm-hmm. It's all by like what feels good to you. Because I think like the rules and the guidelines and the YouTube videos, they're all very helpful and so inspiring, but it really like you get to make the decision at the end of the day, and it doesn't need to fit into a certain mold. And I think that's like a really important thing to remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah. I think another thing is, especially in terms of slow fashion and like sustainable fashion, because I feel like those are like kind of connected with the minimalist wardrobe or the whole minimalist mindset. We often talk about minimalism and sustainability alongside each other. Mm-hmm. And I think another thing you can learn from the minimalist mindset when it comes to your wardrobe is to be like, okay, well, do I already have something similar that will do just as well as this peach? Peach.
This piece is a peach.
So it's like, again, that whole thing about like teaching yourself to make a decision even before you bring that extra mm-hmm. piece home with you. Like, mm-hmm. well, yeah. actually, I already have a pair of black ankle boots. So maybe, yeah. I know we just talked about like duplicates, but you know, it's also about yeah. like challenging yourself, I think, especially yeah. if you do have like a higher, like if you do tend to, you know, over consume or like over purchase yeah. certain things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a tool like once you've decluttered, you can use principles of minimalism, minimalist-ish, essentialism, whatever you want to call it, to control the inflow. Because mm-hmm. I think that becomes a more important thing anyway after you've done the declutter, because there's problems with decluttering and donating as well, right? Like yeah. things will end up in landfill if you can't sell it. You know, there's other things that our clothing has a life cycle even after it's out of our closet. So those are things mm-hmm. to think about. So I think controlling the inflow is just as important, and if not the better place to implement principles of minimalism if you want to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's such a great point, because even if we zoom out and look at from slow fashion and the fashion industry's issues, it's waste is one of the biggest issues, right? And this is, everyone's freaking out about this because there's mm-hmm. like, you know, the desert in Chile full of used clothes. And I think, you know, yes, there's like all the innovative materials you can do and all of the da-da-da-da-da, but ultimately, if we're producing less and we're like, if, you know, if corporations or brands took the same approach as like producing with intention, like, then I don't know. It's like there's definitely a parallel between the consumer behavior and wanting to be intentional and like starting with the root of the problem, which is starting out by making intentional purchases, because then you don't have to worry about excess waste being produced. So it's definitely on both sides from the mm-hmm. industry perspective too, and getting to the root of the problem, which I think mm-hmm. you said it, both yeah. of you said it really well, like start there.
Yeah. And Alyssa, I think the whole Shop Your Closet, which is, you know, you have your Shop Your Closet events, like the whole mm-hmm. like Shop Your Closet the whole act of doing that is also a form of minimalism, right? Because that's also the practice of asking yourself, well, yeah, I like this look, or I'm feeling like drawn to this trend, but actually I already have something that will do just as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
no, both of you.
I think, and like maybe just to close this out, at the end of the day, less is a relative term, right? Mm-hmm. What's less to you? It's not the certain number of items. It's not a certain aesthetic. It's you're starting at a certain point. You want to get rid of some stuff. You want to control the inflow of stuff later. Like, what does less mean to you and what feels good?
Yeah.
And that's your minimalist wardrobe.
Yes. Well said. Well said. good. Well, that is it. I think that was a really good discussion. Let us know in the comments probably in the comments on YouTube what you think what less looks like to you. Give us a follow. Support the podcast because it means we get to create more for you anywhere you listen. And we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Ciao.
Bye.
Ciao. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining in our conversation this week. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple and leave us a rating and review. It's one of the best ways to support the Sustain This podcast at zero cost to you.
We're also a community-led podcast, so if you have any questions for us, topic requests, or even guests you want to hear from, please send us a DM on Instagram at sustainthis_podcast. We read all of our comments and look forward to hearing from you.
We hope you join us again next Tuesday, where we'll talk about so much more than clothes. Ciao!